right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Hooray for Hollywood! That's gooey, bally, hooly Hollywood! Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan.
And any shop... Maybe we should use our 1940s voices for the entire span of the episode.
That's your bit. You're the voice guy.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 179.
The show of the future.
The show of the future.
That's my voice contribution.
Well, it is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It is.
It is episode 179. That's true. And we're calling it, and the nominees are. And
yes.
The nominees are.
Because, of course, this week, the Oscar nominations dominating the news for the most part.
Yes.
And people are upset about some stuff. So,
right. So let's begin.
Right.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Wow. Right into it.
Right in. Right in.
No silliness. No hullabaloo. We're going right into it. And I'm going to start off with the director of Highlander and Highlander 2. I thought they were separate directors. Were they the same director?
I think they were the same director, those two. And then he was like, yo, I'm out.
Yeah, fuck this. You guys are crazy.
I'm out because I can't believe how you cut up this second movie. Not that any cut of that movie. And I've seen every cut of it there is. There's no good cut of that second movie. Highlander's a classic example of it should have been one and done, you know, at all. Not five movies, not a TV series, not anything. It should have been one movie and the end of it. Anyway, you were saying.
Well, something. That gentleman is
Russell something?
Yes. He is the one that's going to be responsible for bringing us the Teen Wolf remake.
Oh. Russell Mulcahy. Is that him?
I'm confirming that right now because I don't remember off the top of my head.
I believe it's Russell Mulcahy.
But yeah, he's the man that's going to... Yes, it is Russell Mulcahy, and he is the man that's going to be bringing us the Teen Wolf movie.
Well, if he brings it like he brought the first Highlander, fine. But if he brings it like Highlander 2, ugh.
Just Teen Wolf decapitating people?
I don't think he'll be decapitating people, sir. I think that was a Highlander-specific thing.
Teen Wolf, like in a kilt with a broadsword?
Yeah, destroying other werewolves leather so he jacket. Can be the one remaining.
It'll be a silver broadsword.
A leather jacket, sir. It was one of those lovely long raincoats.
I know.
That everybody tried to buy after that movie came out.
Yeah.
No one could find them because all the ones they made had them shoulder loops on the top.
And then it didn't become popular again until The Matrix.
Exactly. Well, well, different kind, but yes, I understand where you're going. Right. Columbine came to
Sergeant. Yes, Columbine.
That brought them back.
Decapitating students.
The long coats, sir.
Can I bring up the pink elephant in the room?
You can interject.
Is Michael J. Fox playing Teen Wolf?
No.
Okay. That's not the pink elephant in the room. You busting the chair in Studio A is the pink elephant in the room.
No, that's the vibrating elephant ride in the room. Is Michael J. Fox playing?
Oh no,
dude. Jeez.
I'm just saying his acting these days, a little shaky. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on, man.
Zing.
Right. That's not a zing. Don't give him a zing on that.
Oh, come on. Little ha-ha, little chuckle.
Did you watch Big Bang Theory?
I missed it. Bazinga. No.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
You're never going to see, you're never going to hear the word bazinga and not think of this again.
All right.
Just saying.
Warner Brothers is moving forward with a Sergeant Rock film.
Uh-huh.
Set in the future.
No.
Yes. Not what? World War II. It's going to be a futuristic war, a futuristic take on the character. They didn't want to modernize it and do like Iraq. They didn't want to go traditional route and do World War II.
Who's making this piece of shit?
It's Warner Brothers producer Joel Silver.
Come on, man. What the hell?
Look, I'm just telling you. Just telling you.
Stupid.
All right.
Just stupid. You know. That's like, yes, we're going to take Wyatt Earp and put him in space. Like, it doesn't make, like.
Saying space westerns don't work?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the character is clearly defined in World War II. Why on earth would they choose to put him in the future?
What do I know? I don't know.
Just dumb. Dumb. And Warner Brothers is smarter than that, at least when it comes to their comic properties, sorta, for the most part.
Kinda, sort of, a little bit, maybe.
Well, Catwoman. I think that says it all.
I think there's always a problem. Well, it's true.
It's true.
Olivia Wilde is going to be sexing her way into another one of our films.
Besides Tron?
Cowboys and Aliens. She's going to be playing one of the lead female roles in that film. Now, Cowboys and Aliens, based on a comic book, is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, right? And Favreau is attached to that project, too, right?
OG, there's a buzzing, Just Mike. What was that buzzing?
That would be my cell phone.
And why is your cell phone buzzing during the show?
I got an email. Oh, this coming from someone
whose
rings every week.
I apologize. Oh, I don't ever hear it. Do you ever hear a phone ring when you fans listen to the show? You ever hear a phone ring? I don't think they've ever heard a phone ring, sir. I'm sorry, OG. Could you begin that piece again? I was totally distracted. Something about the beautiful Olivia Wilde.
Yes. She is going to be making her way into the film Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Directed by Jon Favreau.
Uh-huh.
Written by Damon Lindelof, as well as some others.
Uh-huh.
Also starring Daniel Craig.
Based on a comic by whom?
You know, that I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Because I've never read it.
Cowboys and Aliens. Just Mike, does that sound familiar to you?
No, but people are all excited about it, and I'm not really sure what people are excited over.
I don't remember Cowboys and Aliens.
I thought it was based on a book, but maybe it's an original. Maybe it's an original piece. It's just an original sci-fi piece. For some reason, I thought it was based on a comic, but...
Oh, so that wasn't in your news? You were just guessing that?
Well, it doesn't say in there. It just says that it's based on... It just says that it's based on that.
On what?
It doesn't say... I don't know. It just says that she's going to be in Cowboys and Aliens. I thought we had discussed it as being a comic book in the past. I'm sorry.
I don't believe so.
Wasn't Robert
Cowboy
Downey
Ninja
Jr.?
Viking we've discussed in the past.
All right.
We've discussed Aliens comics in the past, but ne'er the two have met.
Cowboys and Aliens is a cross-genre 2006 graphic novel series created by Scott Mitchell Rosenberg.
Okay.
So there you go.
Who is the publisher? The Dark Horse? Sounds like Dark Horse product.
It definitely does sound like Dark Horse, so I don't know. But there you go.
Okay. Well,
so based on a comic book in our genre, Olivia Wilde. That's the important part.
I think you hit all the important points. And right. Daniel, and did you, as an aside, say Daniel Craig was in it also?
I did.
Wouldn't he be slightly important?
Yes. He's actually stepping in for the role that Robert Downey Jr. was originally slated to play, and then he backed out of that role.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
enough of Jon Favreau?
Maybe, or he was involved in other projects. He's got
Iron Man 3.
He's got Sherlock Holmes 2.
Oh, that's true.
Speaking of which, did you hear that Sherlock Holmes 2 has now pulled Guy Ritchie away from the Lobo project? He can no longer do the Lobo project because he's working on Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I'm not upset.
I know you're not.
I'd rather see a Sherlock Holmes movie than a bad Lobo one. Wasn't that dude from Watchmen like really gunning for Lobo?
Yeah.
He played the comedian.
He played the comedian.
Right?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, yeah. Yeah. You know what? It'll still get made eventually. Probably by Guy Ritchie. If you know, maybe this Sherlock movie will fail. Oh, I'd kill me.
Can we move on?
Sure.
All right. The new Muppet movie that we keep on hearing about that's supposed to be based on the script by Jason Segel potentially has a director. Co-creator, writer, and director of Flight of the Conchords, James Bobbin. Looks like he is going to be attached to this film.
Oh, I got to protest.
Film. Why?
I hated that show.
Flight of the Conchords?
Never liked it.
I saw like maybe two episodes of it, and it really wasn't my thing either, but some people rant and rave over it.
Yeah, but,
so.
But you know, I think there's a certain style that accompanies Muppet movies that I don't think can be adapted by just anybody. And from a guy who's coming off of Flight of the Conchords, whose style was, shall we say, loose. I don't know. I have huge trepidations about that.
We should also say that Mr. Bobbin was the writer and director of the Ali G Show, or was a writer and director of the Ali G Show.
Again,
as well. So
it's the same sort of British thing.
I don't know. It could work. There's a certain kind of quirky sense of humor that goes along with that that might work for the Muppets.
But the Muppets are so straight. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. It's we'll see. We'll see. It's too early.
I also don't
know
what Jason Segel's script is like.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it could be wacko off the wall, too. I doubt it, but it could be.
Exactly.
Will Jason be in the film?
That I haven't heard yet.
I can't imagine he wouldn't be.
He might make himself in there in a small cameo part. I wouldn't be surprised. All right. I think we can move on.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
DVDs.
Not a lot.
No, there isn't. This week, it's Superbad meets Shaun of the Dead, says Brad Miska from bloodydisgusting.com. It's Zombieland.
Yes.
Yes, starring Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin.
Right. I did not get to see Zombieland.
No, I didn't either, but I've heard wonderful things about it. I heard it really was really was funny, but lots of cool zombie action at the same time.
Yeah, I heard that you don't have to be like if you don't like horror movies or you don't like zombie movies, that you could still really enjoy this film. I wanted to see it, and for whatever reason I didn't get a chance to, but it is on my list of discs to go out and buy this week. So likely before next week I will have seen it.
And Emma Stone, pretty hot.
She was in Superbad as well, wasn't she? Right?
Was she? Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was the one that, what's her name, punched in the eye.
No, headbutted her in the
headbutted
eye.
Her in
is
the
that
eye.
Emma Stone?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, she was in The House Bunny also.
Oh, was she? Oh, yes. Yeah, she was in that as well.
She was like the leader of the house,
yes.
Wasn't she? Yeah, I actually, she.
Wait, that was the one with Anna Faris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a very funny movie, not to mention the fact that she totally channeled Jonah Hill for that movie. It was amazing. It was like watching a female Jonah Hill. The delivery and the whole mind process and everything was exactly the same. Well, that's good. At least she's familiar. She doesn't look really like herself on the packaging here. She looks much hotter on the packaging than I recall her being. So maybe she's taking a turn for the hot.
Perhaps. I thought she was pretty attractive in Superbad.
I didn't say she wasn't attractive, sir. I said she looked more attractive.
She looked normal in Superbad. You know, she looked like a normal hot girl. She didn't look unattainable.
That's true.
Which is what I thought was good about
her. And even when she was all hotted up in The House Bunny, I still didn't think she looked as good as she looks here. But, well, there it is. This contains all the features that you've come to expect. Deleted scenes, visual effects, things, trailers, the usual batch. So there it is, Zombieland. Pick it up. I picked up the Blu-ray copy. And I don't know if you fellows noticed, but right over there,
yep,
Blu-ray player.
Hey, welcome to the modern age. Now all you need is the rest of the equipment to utilize that.
Yeah, that's a problem. So just to put a cap on that story, I was sold a TV a few years ago that I was told could play 1080p, and it can't play 1080p. So now I have a crap load of Blu-ray discs. I have the best reviewed Blu-ray player of the last 2 years or something, according to CNET. The BD390, which has now been discontinued because their new 500 series is coming out. But I now have it. I have the Blu-ray player, and I can't use it because it doesn't work on my fucking TV.
Right.
So well, now I got to get you. I got to get another fucking TV. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you head on over to our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you'll find the PayPal button.
This is not donations for the Get Big Kev a
no,
New TV.
I wasn't tying that into that, sir. I was saying that I would just happens that I was going to say that if you wanted to donate to the upkeep and the production value of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can head over to the website now and donate something through PayPal. You got 50 cents, you know, buck, nickel, dime, whatever. If you like the show and you want to support the show, this is an easy way for you to do it. All donations, of course, will be sent a lovely thank you from the team here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we'd like to be able to keep going with the quality that we've been able to achieve in 179 episodes, and we'd like to do 179 more. So,
right.
If you could help us out by doing that, that'd be great. Also over at the website, you can see some related images always in the picture galleries for this episode. Picture gallery, rather, for this episode 179 and all the episodes. You can see some related imagery to things that we're talking about on the show. If you're listening to us on iTunes or QuickTime or on your iPod, you can see the images pop up right on those devices or those programs as you listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And don't forget, you can also go to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Right. Give that a call. Let us know what you're thinking about, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear us talk about. If you have questions or comments, or sometimes we have contests, which we'd like you to call in and talk about and so on and so forth. So there it is.
What was that prize that nobody won that you were going to give away?
The complete Farscape box set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody did that contest. That was a damn shame.
Damn shame.
Yep.
Found a good home.
Did.
It found a very good home. That's all I'm saying.
It did.
All right. Moving on.
No. The t-shirt is available at the website. There.
Is this the wrap-up in segment one? What the hell are you doing?
I'm just
You're
saying.
You're throwing off the whole flow.
I'm just saying, sir.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week. Since OG's got to rush us through everything. All right, rush. Going back to college, are we?
Just saying.
Couple to check out. DC gives us Doom Patrol number 7 with the second feature Metal Men. I got to tell you, man, I love this DC stuff. This is Keith Giffen on this book writing it now, right, Just Mike?
Yes, sir.
And it's a terrific story. Matthew Clark and Cliff Richards providing the pencils on this one. This is one of the I feel now, the great DC books again for like the fifth time. What volume are they on now? Isn't this like the fifth or sixth volume?
I think it's the sixth.
Is it the sixth?
Yeah, it might be the sixth.
Wow.
I'll have to double check Comic Base.
But that's it's terrific. It's got all the characters you enjoy. If you've never enjoyed them before, only 7 issues in. What's that, 2 trades? Not even? You can hop on board, check it out, and you can get right involved with Doom Patrol. Also from DC, it's Red Robin number 9. Now, I feel like always when Red Robin comes out, something else comes out, like Gotham City Sirens or something. But yet, it was only Red Robin today.
Yeah, there wasn't another side Batman book.
Right? I didn't miss anything?
No, you didn't miss anything.
Okay. Well, it's Red Robin, Chris Yost, and Ramon Bajs providing the story and art, respectively, and featuring one of my favorite characters, the Killer Moth, on page one. What's wrong with the Killer Moth?
Nothing. I was
dude. It's a sick, funny character.
I was chuckling in agreement.
Whenever they try to make him be all like, "I'm the Killer Moth," you can't help but laugh because he looks goofy as hell, and yet you can't look away.
Exactly.
So there it is. You're on this one, right?
Loving it,
Just Mike.
I love it. And he's back in Gotham now.
This one looks really good too. So, what's gonna happen when Bruce Wayne comes back?
I hope he doesn't.
So he's going to be still Red Robin, but there's still Robin, but he's Red Robin.
Right.
So that's, how's that work? Things.
Well, Red Robin used to be Jason Todd.
No, he still is Jason Todd, isn't he?
No, that's Tim Drake.
I mean Tim Drake, yeah.
Right. Well, Red Robin started with Kingdom Come.
Right.
So maybe it'll eventually be Dick Grayson.
But in Kingdom Come, it's Dick Grayson.
Right.
Who has given up the Nightwing mantle at that point. Mm-hmm.
And taking over Batman's place in the Justice League.
They're not. You know what? You know what I love about Kingdom Come? Is that so many people are trying to write so that actually becomes the future.
Exactly.
Yet every now and again, they do something that's a little left or right of it. And you're like, wait a minute. How the hell are you going to get that back in here?
Everyone always in a comic debate goes back to Kingdom Come.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like it's going to happen.
I know. It's because it wasn't written as an Elseworlds book.
Exactly.
They didn't have Elseworlds books then. It just was.
Hasn't it since been accepted into the Elseworlds? Isn't it one of the many, many Earths?
I don't think it's been spun out into its own Earth.
No.
And neither was Dark Knight Returns, for that matter.
Right.
So both of those are theoretical because was Oliver Queen, he still had both arms in that book. But that
not
book,
in Dark Knight Returns, he had one arm.
I know that. I mean in Kingdom Come.
He had two arms.
Which means Dark Knight takes place after Kingdom Come, which makes sense.
Right.
Probably not long thereafter. Yet, Arsenal is the one who's going to be missing an arm.
Right.
Yes.
So, what does that mean? How does it all fit together? I don't understand.
I don't know.
From Marvel Comics this week, I got Ultimate X Issue 1. Now, I'm counting on you, Just Mike, to explain this to me. The Ultimate Universe is over, right?
Not really.
Oh, it isn't.
No.
Didn't it end with Ultimatum?
No, that's in the Ultimate Universe.
Okay, this is in the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't read it yet. I don't know anything
God
more
damn
than
it.
That.
Just Mike, I rely on you for this information.
Yeah, Mike. Slacker.
Okay, I've opened to page one. It says, Ultimatum has ended. Previously, the world was on the brink of destruction. Countless heroes died. Wow, looks like Wolverine, Cyclops.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Thor, Daredevil, Doctor Strange. I don't know who that dude is. I don't know who that guy is. And then it says, the Fantastic Four have disbanded, the X-Men are gone, mutants are hunted criminals, but there is hope. This is that story.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, I liked it right up until that moment.
Up until the silly?
Weird.
That probably wasn't even Jeff Loeb that wrote that.
I was just about to say, writer is Jeff Loeb on the series, and the pencils are Art Adams. And let me tell you, Art Adams is without question one of the greatest artists working today, because this book is beautiful. Beautiful. So you got to check it out. It's Ultimate X, number one. What does it mean? We don't know. Here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, we just don't know what it means. I thought the Ultimate Universe was ending with Ultimatum, and that was going to be the end of it.
That's
but apparently,
what I thought.
But I thought it was restarting again as Ultimate Comics X-Men, Ultimate Comics Avengers or whatever.
You got me. You think you can keep you? If you can't keep
can't
up with
keep
it,
up.
I can't keep up with it.
Well, anyway, this looks Jeff Loeb and Art Adams is enough for anybody to read anything. So you should check this out. It's Ultimate X number one.
Can we just take a step backwards real quick?
Okay.
According to the Wikipedia, which we know is not always a reliable source of information, Kingdom Come actually is an Elseworld. So if you out there know, or if you have some information to prove it one way or the other, we'd
that
be interested in knowing.
That it is an Elseworld?
That it is or it isn't. You say you didn't think that it was,
it's
right?
Not-
just Mike agreed, according to the Wikipedia, it is an Elseworld that was brought into regular DC continuity through another miniseries called The Kingdom.
Right.
So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. Maybe Kingdom Come originally was an Elseworld, and then The Kingdom is not an Elseworld. So,
oh, that is weird.
Give us a call. Give us your opinion. Let us know what you think. 425-920-6050.
Oh, that,
with Kingdom Come Elseworld info.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I remember that series, The Kingdom, but I thought it was the reverse. I thought that they were using that to point more towards Kingdom Come. I don't know. Now I'm all confused. Fucking comics. From Dynamite Entertainment, it's The Lone Ranger number 20.
That's been out for 20 issues already?
Can you believe that? Brett Matthews, the writer. Damn. Sergio Cariello is the artist. This is the part four of the Resolve storyline. What does that mean for us? We don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
It's a fantastic book, though. That much we know, and you should check it out. Back on a regular schedule, it's Zorro 19.
The Gay Blade.
Now, it's not the Gay Blade, you bastard.
I know, but I like saying that every month when you bring up the new issue of that
book.
I know.
Well, listen what I like about the book. Writer and art director, Matt Wagner.
We like Matt Wagner.
Artist, Francesco Franceviglia.
We like him as well.
From Black Coat.
Yes.
That awesome sketch he did in my book.
I know.
Remember? Well, I got to get him to do Zorro for me now. Anyway, as you can imagine, the art is killer. The writing is killer. So if you've ever thought about hopping on and checking out a Zorro storyline, check it out there. Also, starting up is Zorro Mantenanzas.
Gesundheit.
Yes, it is a Zorro miniseries. It's a four issue. Don McGregor and Mike Mayhew bringing us this story. Again, this is a little bit, slight bit of a departure from the regular Zorro storyline. So you should check that out from Dynamite Entertainment. And finally, rounding out tonight's comics is the hardcover version a collection of The Complete Dracula, also from Dynamite Entertainment. You may remember us discussing this when it was rumored, and then as the issues came out, we were discussing it. It's actually a great translation of the Dracula story, right from Bram Stoker's Dracula, the whole story from front to back. Which is very cool. And then in the back of the hardcover here, they have additional notes and information and sketch work and all sorts of the things that went into making this fabulous translation of the story, if you will. So check it out. It's The Complete Dracula from Dynamite Entertainment. Yeah, there it is.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Yeah.
Go ahead, OG.
Well, we have
got some product, OG?
We have a phone call.
A phone call?
We the have product? A phone call. Someone called.
People call all the time. We just don't use every single phone call. I mean, sometimes we use them to drive new content and stuff, but we don't always play them on the show.
That's because Jesse's a crackhead.
Not only Jesse.
I think Jesse gave up on us.
I think so, too.
And we're going to get a drunken phone call or a drug-induced phone call. I haven't given up on you guys,
man.
I'm
not a crackhead.
I am not a crackhead. I am not drunk or high right now.
Did I just hear an ecstasy in there?
Hey, what's going on, Big Kev? What's going on, OG? Hey, with Tim Burton coming out with Alice in Wonderland, I was wondering if there's going to be any cool merchandise coming out, like any sort of cool action figures. I prefer the Todd McFarlane kind of super detailed action figure. I don't really like busts and ceramic shit and all that good stuff. But just wanted to know if there was anything coming down the pipeline, since it is a Disney movie. I'm sure they'll be marketing. Talk to you later. Bye.
So there you go. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
There's actually a couple of things that we know about.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. And some speculations we can add on top of that.
Right. So for sure, we know that. And I think that all of the for sure stuff, caller, whom did not leave his name, although I think I know who you are. All the for sure stuff, I don't think that you're entirely going to be happy with, because I don't know that it's up your particular alley when you mention that you're into McFarlane and that type of articulated,
right.
Detailed figure.
Articulated? No. Oh. Detailed, yes. Yeah. Articulated?
Yeah, not so much anymore, right?
No.
Medicom, the Real Action Heroes line.
Is it Medicom or is it Hot Toys?
It's Medicom, Real Action Heroes.
Okay.
Has two figures coming out.
Okay.
One is the Mad Hatter. And one is Alice.
Right.
So we know that for sure.
Yes.
These are the 12-inch import figures.
Right.
Typically speaking, really quality detail. So that might be up your line. They both look really good. The Hatter looks fantastic.
Right.
The Medicom stuff tends to be a bit pricey. So that might be a deterrent to the casual collector.
Right. All the imports tend to be... Import 12-inch is what you're talking about. Tend to be over $100, sometimes $100.50.
Right.
Depending. But you can definitely go to probably Sideshow.com, or SideshowToy.com. Sideshow Collectibles will probably be importing these toys.
Right.
I'm guessing if they haven't listed them already, they probably will list them soon.
We also know that Tonner is putting out an Alice piece.
Right, and I think a Hatter also.
I haven't seen pictures of the Hatter yet, but the Alice is out there.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up the Hatter.
Right.
I mean, that those two characters seem to be the ones.
The
go-tos. Also confirmed, and also from Medicom, but away from figures, is they also have a license to do Bear Bricks.
Right.
And Mini Kubricks.
Right.
As well. Mm-hmm. I know that there is a Hatter and Cheshire Cat Bear Brick, and I'm not sure about the Kubricks, but
the Tim Burton movies generally tend to be humongous in Asia, in Japan in particular. So you can imagine that a lot of those Japanese companies will pick up and try to do something from the movie. I mean, look at Nightmare Before Christmas. That movie came out when? And it still has a full product line every year from a number of companies. So it's not just one. And then, of course, I'm going to speculate here that somebody has got to have picked up that 6-inch license, which is probably more what the caller is looking for.
Right. And I think me and Kev would both agree here that in all likelihood, that company is going to be NECA.
Yeah. NECA seems to be the company that picks up, a lot of these licenses. Yeah. Back in the day, it may have been McFarlane, but I think McFarlane's on the verge of being out of business.
Well, we should also say that NECA has a long-standing relationship with both Tim Burton and Disney.
This is true.
NECA puts out all the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff.
Right.
NECA put out all the Corpse Bride stuff.
Yes. And they also did two figures from 9.
Right. But was Burton attached to 9?
I don't think he was. I thought he was producer on that.
Oh, he might have been. NECA also has a pretty strong relationship with Disney. Through Nightmare Before Christmas, they also did all the Pirates of the Caribbean toys.
So they have a well-established groundwork. So it's a fair speculation that it probably will be them.
That it would probably fall to them.
However, we should say that, you know, don't count out the dark horse in the running, because you never know. I didn't mean dark horse the company.
No, I meant
the theoretical dark horse. You never know that these companies sometimes pop up and get things for whatever reason, either they outbid or whatever. Like, I'll give you a perfect example, and nobody saw this coming, not even me. The brand new, it's the first in likely a series, I hope anyway, the Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Yes.
The Lightning Thief. They have action figures for that movie.
And who is it?
Jazzwear.
Is it Jazzwear?
Yeah,
right.
Which is a little knockoff sort of company.
Is Jazzwear the one, which actually puts an interesting spin on this story. Is Jazzwear the one that got the license for those, what's it called? The Wonka movie?
I think they were.
Do you remember yeah. those weird little Wonka toys?
Yeah.
And it was nobody we had expected.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we didn't even know they were putting it out until we were in their showroom at yeah. Toy Fair, and we were uh-huh. like, is that a Wonka action figure license? And then right next door, they were also putting out like a mad scientist lab.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell did you get an action figure license for this?
Yeah, it was one of those things that was very surprising to
right.
see. And that's why I mentioned Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Tale of the Lightning Thief, or whatever the hell the film's called, because I just saw the action figures for that movie. Little Company Jazzwares, they're tiny. They're, you know, it's not a big deal. But again, if they don't, you know, if they don't want to go the full-blown 6-inch direction, they could go that way. So it could go to another company. But I would be really surprised, given the history and everything else, if it didn't go to NECA.
Yeah, so.
At this point. Plus, don't forget, caller, I'm sure there's going to be a full line of God knows what else that comes out with this movie. I mean, this is Walt Disney's Alice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can imagine that Disney is going to have a full product line of its own. Disney store stuff. I'm sure there'll be, God knows, Disney milks everything. They stick characters on
now,
everything.
Now,
so.
we should say real yeah. quick that yeah. Disney, in recent history, has actually put out some pretty quality-looking figures. The Narnia figures were actually pretty good. I mean, I wasn't a Narnia fan. I didn't pick up any, but they were good-looking figures. They did their own Pirates of the Caribbean line, which some were okay, some were not so good, but some were better than the NECA pieces, in my personal opinion. The Tia Dama figure, for example, was better than anything that NECA had put out.
Right.
So, right, you could probably expect to see something coming from Disney as well. So, you know, Toy Fair is what, a mere 10 days away at this point, 11
wow,
days away?
That many?
So, you know, probably give us another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I would say we'll have more definites for you. But thanks for the call nonetheless.
Sure.
I think with that, we should take our first break.
Yes, let's do that. And we'll be right back with Big Cavs Geek Stuff, episode 179. And the nominees are...
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
I love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
Hooray for Hollywood, that's gooey, bally, hooly Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan.
Hi, this is Neil from Michigan. Your voicemail keeps cutting me off for some weird reason, but I'll just keep recording like nothing happened. So, watch the trailer for Hot Tub Time Machine. Looks funny. Like that they're going back to the 80s. Only thing that kind of made me question in the trailer was Chevy Chase shows up as a hot tub repair guy, and somebody says a line like, you know what's going on, don't you? And he kind of gives a knowing smile. Kind of remind me of the Don Knotts role from the movie Pleasantville. So that's kind of interesting. Don't know what they're going to do with that there, but that's the only thing I really question about the trailer. Otherwise, it looks hilarious. I got that out of the way. Also, I wanted to bring up, in the last episode, you guys were talking about the 3D. I actually work at a movie theater, and we have a 3D screen. We have one screen that can show 3D movies because, like I think OG said, you do need a special projector, but you also need a special screen, or at least for the kind that we have. The way I understand it, there are three major companies producing 3D films right now. We have Real-D. That's the way it works at ours anyway. You need both a projector and a special screen. So, all right. That's my message. Thanks. Bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 179. And the nominees are...
You didn't do your 40s voice.
And the nominees are... No, I'm not good at it.
Ugh.
I'm not trying to be good at it. I'm okay with it.
I like...
But before we get to that... Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the caller said something about the 3D technology. Man, it's complicated. It used to be you put on a pair of red and blue glasses and everything was fine.
Now, he also mentioned that the real 3D, real, whatever it was he mentioned. That's pretty much what I've seen Coraline, Up, and Avatar in now, was that technology.
Right.
Pretty positive. Right. So that seems to be the thing. And projector and screen. So there you go.
Right. Did the caller leave his name?
Yeah.
Because he's
Neil from Michigan.
He's clearly Neil from Michigan, the winner of our hot tub time machine contest.
Now, we actually, finally, after begging, got more of you to call than had originally called. Because we got a couple of good calls, but we extended it because we wanted to get a couple more and we just wanted to flush out the prize.
Right.
He gets the win because of the Don Knotts comparison.
That was really, really good. Yeah,
that was a good part, and something I didn't pick up on until he said it.
And then once he said that, I was like, you know, it's not dissimilar to the Christopher Walken character in Click.
And Click. He's kind of the bringing down the curtain character.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Right? And it's Chevy Chase, so that sucks.
Oh, I like Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Really? You don't like anything he's ever done?
No, name one thing that he's done. I liked him in...
I was going to say, name one. I can name at least four without even trying hard.
Caddyshack.
The Vacation.
Right. I barely liked him in that.
You didn't
that.
Like Vacation?
What about...
Not really.
The three good Vacation movies. Vegas doesn't count, but the other three count.
They have moments, but as... overall, I would say not really. No.
I love those movies. And
that it?
Caddyshack.
Is that all you got?
Fletch.
I hated Fletch.
Was it good? I liked
Fletch. I hated both Fletch movies.
I did not like Funny Farm.
Nope.
Really at all. I'm trying to think what else he's done.
Yeah. Has he been in anything else? He was in some, Snow Dad or something? Yeah. Something awful?
He was good on Chuck last season. He was on like a couple episodes of Chuck.
Yeah.
Did you ever see him on Law & Order as Mel Gibson?
On Law & Order with Mel Gibson?
As Mel Gibson.
No.
They did a recreation of the Mel Gibson Sugar Tits anti-Semitic
rollover
event,
really?
And they used the same lines only with Chevy Chase.
No, I never saw that. I also did not see him on that show that he's on now, which is, what's that show he's on now? It's not Parks and Recreation. It's
Community.
Community.
Which I hear is hilarious,
but I haven't watched it yet. I haven't seen
it. That's one of those ones I have a feeling I'll probably pick up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. And then the Chevy Chase show was terrible.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not a fan.
Oh, Memoirs of the Invisible Man was okay.
Terrible.
I like that.
That movie
like
was
that.
Terrible.
Oh, Nothing But Trouble. A good, quirky, bad movie, but I like that.
I'll tell you a crappy one from the 80s. What's it called? Keep going down the list. Try about like 1980, 81. I can't remember what
under
it was
the
called.
Rainbow,
no.
Modern Problems.
Actually, Under the Rainbow was a good film, despite Chevy Chase.
Deal of the Century.
Wait, what was the other one?
Modern Problems.
Modern Problems. That one I actually enjoyed. That had, what's her name in it? Nell Carter.
Oh, God.
So I remember seeing that movie on cable. Hair
was on TV today. Wasn't Nell Carter in that, too?
Yes. Nell Carter is in Hair. Why was Hair on TV?
I don't know. Just it was on like AMC or
really?
Something. Yeah, it was on something weird. But anyway,
go to work today?
Huh? No, it was in my in between time.
Oh, I see.
During my changing, grabbing the laptop, running out
gotcha.
To the show time.
Gotcha. So yeah, not a fan of the Chevy Chase. However, it looks like he'll be enjoyable in his 6 minutes of film time in this otherwise hysterical movie. Again, this movie will be funny despite Chevy Chase.
So Neil from Michigan, congratulations.
There you go. Congratulations. Your fabulous prize is on the way. You need to send your mailing information to geekstuffog@gmail.com. That's geekstuffog@gmail.com. If there's any particular genre of stuff that you're interested in, let us know and we'll see if we have something prize wise that we can send you.
There you go. That
can't
works.
Promise you because you know, right. You know, we don't have prizes from everybody, not yet. But we do have a nice assortment.
We do. And the nominees are.
Yes.
The title of our episode tonight.
Yes, 9 nominations for Avatar, tied with 9 nominations for Hurt Locker.
Right.
The directors, Catherine Bigelow and James Cameron, were married.
Yep, had a romantic relationship.
Yes, that's one way to describe it. I've heard tumultuous is another word.
Well, there is that.
And they're both up for Best Director.
They are both up for Best Director.
So we can start with that.
There are 10 films up for Best Picture this year.
What are they?
It is Avatar.
Uh-huh.
The Blind Side.
Uh-huh. That's the Sandra Bullock.
Right. District 9.
Yay.
That's up for Best Picture?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
Two of our films up for Best Picture this year.
Okay.
Actually, maybe even 3. An Education.
Okay, that's kind of a period lovey piece.
The Hurt Locker.
Uh-huh.
Inglourious Basterds.
Uh-huh. That's the Tarantino World War II movie with Brad Pitt.
Right. Precious.
Yes. With Monique. The Golden Globe award
Hairy
winner.
Legged.
Yes, Monique. Her speech was one of the best ones at the Golden Globes, I gotta say.
She felt it. She really wanted that.
Yeah, she has a lot of class. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's good in that movie, too.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. You know who else is really good in it? Mariah Carey.
Really?
Is outstanding in it.
Yeah, but she's not naked in it.
No, she's not.
That would kind of sell it for me.
A Serious Man.
Uh-huh. Don't know anything about that one.
Up in the Air.
That's the Clooney.
Right. A Serious Man was the Coen Brothers movie that came out this year. And Up was nominated for Best Picture.
Awesome.
Year. But wasn't Up also nominated for Best Animated Feature? It was.
Mm-hmm. So?
That's just kind of weird.
It can be up for both. It's probably going to win Best Animated. I don't think it'll win Best Picture.
No.
Even though, in all honesty, it was the best picture I saw this year.
Well, it seems to be that people think that it's going to come down between The Hurt Locker and Avatar.
The numbers seem to indicate that, sir.
Well, you can't just go based on box office because, you know, based on box office, Twilight would be in there.
Well, I didn't mean those numbers. I meant the number of award nominations.
And, you know, Avatar took away the Golden Globe and it was up against Hurt Locker.
Avatar is like, isn't it now the most successful film of all time?
It finally beat out Titanic.
And Hurt Locker made $16 million.
Right.
So clearly I wasn't talking about those numbers.
Right, right. So that's going to be interesting for all of the people out there. I don't know. I'm getting tired of the Avatar haters, the kids who think it's really cool to hate Avatar.
Once it made all that money, I knew people would say,
it's
I
just
hate
like
it.
Titanic. Everybody hated Titanic.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. There are a lot of arguments out there for why Avatar is the worst movie ever, and most of them don't hold any water past the initial, this is why I hate Avatar. You're like, all right, well, what else?
I don't hate Avatar. I think Avatar is the best movie ever made by ripping off other movies. That's what I say.
Okay.
Come on. Be honest. Be honest. I know we've discussed this before. Fucking Ferngully.
Yeah, that's the weakest argument out there.
I
think there are a lot of movies that are...
Did you see Ferngully?
I have seen Ferngully.
It is it's almost a literal translation.
Okay. Well,
In a different world.
I don't agree, but you're entitled to your opinion.
Fine.
And we will agree to disagree.
Fine.
So that's the best picture.
Can we agree that you're wrong?
No. For directing.
We'll agree to disagree on that.
fine. For directing, we have Cameron for Avatar, Reitman for Up in the Air, Bigelow for The Hurt Locker, Lee Daniels for Precious, and Quentin Tarantino for Inglourious Basterds. So really, 5 out of the 10 nominees for Best Picture also up for Best Director.
Okay, Reitman, they're calling the next Billy Wilder, which I think is a wildly, wildly outrageous claim, considering this is like his, what, first movie or second movie? Do you know, can you research that?
He did Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, was that him?
That was him. Okay. He did another one that was really, he got nominated for an Oscar.
Well, he did?
For, oh, Juno. That's it.
Oh, was that him?
He got nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, I know that. Thank You for Smoking. And like before that, it was not a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
In
so
God We Trust, Uncle Sam, Gulp.
The point is that it's hardly a Billy Wilder-esque resume. And to say that he is the next Billy Wilder because Up in the Air is such a fantastic movie, and I'm not saying it isn't, primarily because I haven't seen it, but Juno was a great flick. Thank You for Smoking was a funny flick. I'm not saying the kid's not talented, and it definitely doesn't fall far from the tree. His father's Ivan Reitman.
Right.
Who brought us Ghostbusters at the least, you know? So clearly the kid has got chops, but I mean, I think that's a wildly outrageous claim to be making. And I really think Catherine Bigelow is going to get it. Didn't she get the SAG? Did she get Screen Actors Guild for direct? She got, oh no, she got Directors Guild.
You're right.
Yeah, she got Directors Guild of America Award. So that's usually a pretty good indication of who's going to get the Oscar. So I'd be surprised if anyone got it other than her, and really surprised if it was Jim Cameron.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's going to walk away with that one. But I also think Hurt Locker is going to walk away with the picture, Best Picture. I don't think they're going to give it to Avatar. I mean, I could be wrong.
We'll see. I wouldn't hedge any bets against anything at this point.
Sure.
It's so there's no like, you know, at first people were like, well, you use the Golden Globes to judge, and then Avatar won all the Golden Globes. And then all right, what is the Screen Actors Guild? The Screen Actors Guild was kind of mixed, but then Directors Guild was like all Hurt Locker. So it's like, it's kind of really all over the place. Did we miss something? Was there a People's Choice Award or something that we missed in there?
Something.
Did Avatar win any Grammys?
Did he win a Grammy?
Something.
All right, let's move on to leading actor. It's Jeff Bridges for Crazy Heart, Clooney for Up in the Air, Colin Firth for A Single Man, Morgan Freeman for Invictus, and Jeremy Renner for The Hurt Locker.
Okay, I think that's a pretty, I think it's a pretty easy guess there who's going to win that.
Jeremy Renner?
No. Bridges.
Oh, for Crazy Heart?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's won them. Has he won them all?
Yeah.
He's so far? I think he has won most of them so far. So I would be surprised if he didn't win. However, that kid in Hurt Locker, they're talking a lot about that kid.
He was really good in that movie.
But I don't think they're not going to give it to, this is definitely Jeff Bridges' year, I think. I mean, overall, he's got a lot of good projects coming out. He's the dude.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's in Tron. In Tron Legacy.
That's what I mean. He's got more stuff coming. He's got another movie before that coming out, I think, too.
Actress in a leading role. Sandra Bullock for The Blind Side. Helen Mirren for The Last Station. Carey Mulligan for An Education. Gaborni Sidibe for Precious. And Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia.
The one you can't pronounce is The Large Black Girl.
Yes, I believe that she's going to end up walking away with that one.
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's Meryl Streep? I think it's an honor to be nominated. She's no, what you call it? What's her name?
Who? Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren?
No. Well, yes. Yeah, I don't think Helen Mirren will win because I think her recent acquisitions in the last couple of years, I think it's lovely for Helen Mirren to be nominated.
Exactly.
But I don't think it's going to be Helen Mirren. I don't think she's what's her name from Dreamgirls?
Oh, Jennifer Hudson.
She's no Jennifer Hudson, so I don't think it'll be her. I don't think it's that kind of performance where you come from nowhere, do your first film, and win. Because Jennifer Hudson was so amazing in Dreamgirls, it was astonishing even. So I don't think it'll be her. Who else did you? I don't think it'll be that girl for An Education, even though I think that was probably a really nice performance and it's a very nice honor for her to be nominated. I don't think that's the performance. So who does that leave?
It leaves Sandra Bullock and Meryl Streep,
which is, I really think it's going to be one of the two.
Then maybe it would be Bullock then.
Really?
Yeah, well,
I don't know, because
I'm only going based on the fact that Streep has won before, right? I mean,
a bunch.
So So it might be one of those situations where they're finally acknowledging Sandra Bullock's work.
They might be. You know, she also, if she does win, will have won an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year because she just won the Razzie for About Steve or whatever that movie was with Bradley Cooper. So I don't know. I think they have to. I'm going to hedge my bets here. I'm going to say it's going to be one of the two of them, but I would lean more towards Meryl Streep, really.
Actor in a supporting role.
Uh-huh.
Matt Damon in Invictus. Woody Harrelson in The Messenger. Christopher Plummer in The Last Station. Stanley Tucci in The Lovely Bones. And Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds.
And here again, I don't think this is a fairly obvious category, but I think there's some people you can eliminate.
I think that there's a lot of buzz around the dude in Inglourious Basterds.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to lose.
I think he's going to walk away with that award.
Really? But I heard Stanley Tucci's performance in Lovely Bones, I heard, was amazing. So I won't write him off. I'll write off Christopher Plummer.
Okay.
I'll write off Woody Harrelson, usually pretty easily on anything.
Okay.
And I'll write off Matt Damon because I just don't think.
I'm not buying that role overall.
I'm not buying them trying to ham-handedly shove Invictus down my throat.
Yeah.
I don't care if Morgan Freeman gave the best performance of his career. I don't think that he did in this film,
right.
Nor do I think Matt Damon and so on and so forth. I'm glad that everybody who makes the nominations thinks so. I just don't think in the end, I don't believe it's an award-winning performance. That said, I do think Stanley Tucci was pretty amazing in that role. And I would like to see the dude from Inglourious Basterds win.
Waltz.
So again, I'm split. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of the two of them.
Actress in a supporting role. Penelope Cruz for 9. Vera Farmiga for Up in the Air. Maggie Gyllenhaal for Crazy Heart. Anna Kendrick for Up in the Air. And Monique for Precious.
Okay. So here again, I think we can clearly eliminate a few people.
Okay.
Who was first?
Penelope Cruz for 9.
Out. Because 9 was a complete and utter disaster.
Although I hear that the individual performances were good, the movie as a whole was terrible.
And I just don't.
So
I think the recognition comes in the nomination.
Okay.
And let's be honest, if it was that great of a film, what's his name would be nominated for actor.
Right, right.
I mean, the guy's never done a movie where he hasn't been nominated for something. Yeah. What's his name?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis has never done a movie where he hasn't been nominated for something. So that right there kind of, I think for me, eliminates Penelope Cruz. Who is second?
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, and if you don't know who this is, I only know her from The Departed. I'm not saying she's never done anything else, but this is the only role I remember her in is The Departed. But I heard she was very good. I heard both of them, the girls who are nominated for this, are very good. But that said, I would tend to think that they cancel each other out.
Yeah.
You know, not saying she's not a great performer or whatever, but I don't think her resume, I don't think, warrants this award. And I don't know that the performance was that great. Go ahead.
Maggie Gyllenhaal for Crazy
Absolutely.
Heart.
No question whatsoever. No way in hell would she ever win this award. Next.
Why?
She sucks ass.
Really?
She's
terrible. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She is awful.
Oh, I like
she
her.
She is terrible. Terrible. I defy you, with the exception of Secretary, to name a movie that she's interesting in.
Oh,
where she doesn't annoy the piss out of you. She was so bad. She was the weak link in Dark Knight. Let me put it this way. If Dark Knight had a chain, right? If we can envision it as a chain, like a metal chain that could hold a fucking cruise ship to a pier, her link was made of fucking paper. I mean, that's how weak of a link she was.
I liked Stranger Than Fiction.
No.
And I thought she was good in it.
No.
I didn't see World Trade Center.
I did. She was a wife. It was a throwaway character anybody could
have
played.
And I liked Sherry Baby also.
Oh, she titties in that movie.
I liked Sherry Baby. Mona Lisa Smile.
Hold on. Let's deal with this. They're not that great.
I didn't care.
They're just not that great. I'm just saying. Because whenever you see them and they're not kind of all the way bound, they're flopping all over. They're just not that great. Go ahead. What else?
What did I don't even remember. Lisa's Smile, I
No,
said.
She was terrible in that movie.
Adaptation.
No.
So, I don't know.
Secretary.
I liked her in a couple of
them. Secretary's the only movie I ever found her interesting in. Okay. And almost everything else, if I didn't like her, I hated her. I mean, it wasn't even like, she's kind of weak. No, she just was. It's either cardboard, anybody could do it, or who gives a shit. So, no, absolutely out. Who is next?
Anna Kendrick for Up in the Air.
No, so she's the other girl in Up in the Air, so I shouldn't. I still think they kind of cancel.
And then Monique for Precious.
I think is the winner. I would.
So you think she's the one that gets
I would be surprised if she didn't get it. I would really. Were I a betting man, again, I think I would hedge my bets towards Monique. Again, didn't she pick up? Did she get the SAG award for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would be really surprised if she did not get it. And, you know, and you got to respect somebody that comes out of the woods like a Monique, who comes from an entirely different sort of background. Like, this is a stand-up comedian who did fucking... Didn't she do Soul Plane?
Yeah. And
so,
like,
I mean, if we're talking about a film...
Female version of Barbershop or whatever.
Yeah, if we're talking about a film transformation here, I'm taking Soul Plane on this end and Precious all the way over here. Good for her. That just says what kind of a great performer she is. And I hope she gives a speech. If she wins, I hope she gives a speech as elegant as the one she gave at the Golden Globes. But I didn't see her SAG speech.
I didn't see it either.
All well, right. those are the big ones. What other categories do you want to hit on?
What's in animation?
Oh, okay, we can do animation.
I know. Up,
Coraline.
Uh huh.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay.
The Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
Up.
Uh huh.
And the Secrets of the Kells.
That's
the only one I don't know.
I don't know Secrets of the Kells. I think the Disney one was
Princess and the Frog is not
kind of
get
blah.
It. Fantastic Mr. Fox, I don't think is going to get it.
Was jarringly unwatchable.
I haven't seen it, and which is bad for me because I'm a pretty big Wes Anderson fan, and I
me
try
too.
To go see everything.
Me too, and I'm telling you, man, I had such a headache coming out from that movie. Such a headache because of the style of animation. Oh, it was horrendous. Yeah.
Coraline,
it's
which I don't think
too.
Is going to win either.
Coraline?
I don't think it's going to win.
I don't think
so. I liked it. I thought it was good, but it's...
It's a solid number two, though.
The only way Coraline will win, right, is if Up won Best Picture and they gave Coraline Best Animated.
No,
that's the only way.
I don't think that would happen. I thought you were going to say if suddenly some naked photos of Up were revealed somewhere that it would have to give up its crown to Coraline, that kind of thing.
I think Up is walking away with this one.
Okay,
I think
we agree on that. Is there any other of our films in any of these other like writing categories or anything?
Well, adapted screenplay is District 9. Original screenplay is Up.
Not Avatar.
No.
Avatar was an adapted screenplay from fucking Fern Gully.
No.
Okay.
Nice argument.
That was
original screenplay
joke,
was Up.
Okay, that's pretty good.
The animated feature we did, Art Direction, Avatar,
uh-huh.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Oh, really?
Yep. Sherlock Holmes is in that movie.
Oh,
also.
That's good.
And then Nine and the Young
Yeah,
Victoria.
No other nominations for Sherlock Holmes. Isn't that odd?
Cinematography, Avatar, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, and The White Ribbon.
White Ribbon for that one. What the fuck is The White Ribbon?
I have no idea.
You got me.
Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus is in costume design.
Which makes sense. Every one of his films, I think, has been in costume design. Terry Gilliam, I think.
Avatar, District 9, Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, and Precious is film editing.
Yes, Precious, clearly in our genre.
Star Trek is up for makeup.
For makeup?
For makeup.
Against who?
Il Divo and the Young Victoria.
Okay.
Original score, Avatar, Fantastic Mr. Fox, The Hurt Locker, Sherlock Holmes, and Up.
That's for score?
Yes.
Sherlock Holmes.
Original song.
Although I think Avatar will probably get it.
Oh, maybe. Original song, you have two from The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, boy.
One from Paris 36, one from Nine, and one from Crazy Heart.
Oh, that's a tough one because it's got two... two nominations, I think you kind of
yeah.
feel that Disney one, but that movie wasn't very good. So I'm gonna say the Crazy Heart there.
Right.
Again,
I think. Actually think they might give it to Nine.
Really?
I think so. I think that might be one of the ones Nine actually wins.
All right. I'd be surprised.
Sound Mixing, Avatar, Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Star Trek, and Transformers 2 Revenge of the Fallen.
Ew.
Can I skip editing? Avatar, Hurt Locker, Inglourious Bastards, Star Trek, and Up.
Okay.
Visual effects, Avatar, District 9, and Star Trek.
That's a toughie there. I wonder who will win that. Ugh.
And those are the that's pretty much it on the list that I have. Those
all right, very good. So there's no, I don't think there's anything is a clear sweep. You know, they were saying that once the nominations came out that there might be a clear sweep by Avatar, and I don't think we're seeing a clear sweep here of anything, I think. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. When are the Oscars?
March
7th.
I think they're March 7th.
March 7th, Sunday, March 7th.
Yes, very good.
So there you go.
Tune in to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 180.
That might be the two-year episode. Either that week or four-year episode. Either that week or the following week will be the four-year episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. That's a long-ass time to do anything.
Word.
So, yes, and with that, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 179. And the nominees are.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, this is Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 179. I ain't doing the voice, and the nominees are.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about Teen Wolf, Beheading Scotsman, Sergeant Rock in the Future, Olivia Wilde in Cowboys and Aliens, The Muppets Movie by Flight of the Conchords.
Olivia Wilde in The Buff.
That was Alpha Dog.
That's true, sir. Very briefly.
And The Muppet Movie by the guy who brought us Flight of the Conchords.
Gary.
Then we talked about some comic books that came out this week.
Yes, Zorro Matanas, number 1, Regular Zorro 19, Lone Ranger, number 20, Ultimate X, number 1, Red Robin, number 9, Doom Patrol, number 7, and the hardcover collected Complete Dracula from Dynamite Entertainment. Definitely worth checking out that Dracula book.
Then, out on DVD this week, we have a couple that are definitely in our genre.
Did we ever talk about World Hulk?
Planet Hulk? Yeah, we mentioned it.
We did? Well, no, we didn't, sir.
Oh, we missed it. All right, well,
we just hopped on to something else. I think we totally forgot.
We got too caught up in Zombieland.
I think we did.
And Emma Stone. That's what it was.
That's Emma Stone's fault. Emma Stone threw us off. Yes, so Zombieland, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, Jesse Eisenberg, and Abigail Breslin, and Planet Hulk, which is the Marvel latest animated movie. Why don't we talk more about that one next week?
That cover might actually be Alex Ross.
It does look, as I looked at it a little closer, it does look like it could be Alex Ross. So, just Mike, you might have been right about that.
There were a couple of other discs that we didn't really mention, but we could real quick here. Universal Soldier Regeneration, Brave and the Bold, Volume 3.
Why are we wasting?
Hellboy Sword of Stones and Blood and Iron on Blu-ray.
Stop it.
All right. From there, we went into our first listener phone call for the night.
Yes.
Talked about some Alice in Wonderland product. What we know for sure, what we speculate for the future, we will report back on Alice in Wonderland in, let's say, 2 weeks' time.
Yes, we should have a better answer
once we're done with Toy Fair.
Uh-huh.
In segment two tonight, we talked all about the Oscars. Who's up for what? Our predictions.
Sorta.
And, you know, we'll talk about this more after the actual Oscars in March.
Right.
When we can go through the list of who actually won and you know, who gave a good speech and who got cut off and what snarky comment, Robert Downey Jr. makes. Right. Did you see him at the
Golden Globes?
At the Globe and what they called him at the Grammys, the most self-important actor. In Hollywood,
and
he comes out and he's
like,
good thing that I'm here, right? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was pretty. No, it was funny. It was.
I'll see if it's on the YouTube.
Humorous. It was brief, but it was humorous. So.
Oscars hosted by Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin. The TV spots so far?
Yeah.
Not so funny.
Yeah.
Not really funny at all.
I'm really not. Yeah, no. They should have given it to what's his name? They should have given it to the only guy. No, the only guy that can actually do award show these days. Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, NPH, they
should have. Should do every single award show ever.
Did he do he didn't do the Oscars last year,
no,
did he?
No, he did the Tonys and he did
the Emmys.
The Emmys?
Was it the Emmys?
Yeah, yes. He did the Emmys.
Oh, well, he should
but
definitely.
But he did awesome with both of those.
Why did they not give him the Oscars?
God only knows. That's weird. He's proven himself as doing a great job.
But not film. Right? Not a real big film guy.
Oh, but
I don't know. They're just riding this Alec Baldwin is great suddenly and
yeah,
now he's quitting thing.
Yeah, that's gonna crash.
Plus, didn't Steve Martin host once before?
And it was abysmal.
And it wasn't so hot.
It was abysmal.
I don't understand.
He needs to come out with the arrow through his head. It's a wild and crazy guy.
What he needs to come out with Billy Crystal. And Billy Crystal needs to go, we were just kidding, I'm gonna do
a song.
Yeah, exactly.
And move on.
I mean, seriously.
I think he's losing his edge a little too. It's
a little old.
A little rough around the edges.
That's all right. He can still pull it off. He's funny. What about Hugh Jackman? He was awesome.
Hugh Jackman has done a very good job.
Wasn't he last
year? He did 2 years, didn't he?
No, just 1 year.
He did the Tonys two years.
Yeah. He was awesome when he hosted, if that was last year.
Yeah,
he was really good. I was surprised that they didn't ask him back. Maybe he's busy.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, presumably some more live from Studio V coming down the pipeline in the future.
Yeah, we keep saying that.
T-shirts still for sale. You can subscribe to the show, join the message boards, check us out. Good times are to be had. Don't forget, if you want to contribute to the show, 425-920-6050 is the place to leave us a voicemail.
Yeah.
Or bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com is the place to drop us an email. And I think that's it.
Wonderful.
You want to pass this over to that guy over there?
And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 179? And the nominees are
Maggie Gyllenhaal boobies.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.